Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Just in, the Texas Supreme Court has put on hold a judge's ruling that approved an abortion for a pregnant woman whose fetus has a fatal diagnosis. The order throws into limbo an unprecedented challenge to one of the most restrictive bans in the U.S. A pregnant woman in Kentucky has filed a lawsuit demanding the right to an abortion.
The lawsuit, which seeks class action status, challenges Kentucky's near-total ban on abortions. Amber Duke is with the American Civil Liberties Union.
The case details the severe harm that Jane Doe, who is 8 weeks pregnant, is enduring because the government has denied her access to the care that she needs.
It's the second legal challenge in days to sweeping abortion bans in more than a dozen U.S. states since Roe v. Wade was overturned last year. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
One of the biggest Hollywood actors of the 1970s, Ryan O'Neal, has died at the age of 82. His son Patrick made the announcement on Instagram. CBS's Michael George.
His role on the TV soap opera Peyton Place was his breakthrough. But it was the huge success of Love Story in 1970 that made him a Hollywood heavyweight with a nomination for an Academy Award.
Then don't leave me, Jenny.
In 1972, he starred with Barbara Streisand in the comedy What's Up, Doc?
You see, I just came in here for something for a headache.
You're gonna need an awful big glass of water to get that down.
And the next year came Paper Moon, which brought an Oscar for his daughter, Tatum.
UNLV is canceling in-person final exams in the wake of Wednesday's shooting that left three faculty members dead. University President Keith Whitfield commented on the first responders.
These men and women were going into harm's way, not away from harm's way. They made a difference in how this tragedy was handled.
After listening to impact statements from families of the four killed and those who were wounded in the 2021 Oxford, Michigan high school shooting, Ethan Crumbly tells the judge.
Any sentence that they ask for, I ask that you do impose it on me because I want them to be happy and I want them to feel secure and safe, and I do not want them to worry another day. So I really am sorry for what I've done, for what I've taken of them.
The 17-year-old was then sentenced to life in prison without parole. Crumbly pleaded guilty to 24 charges, including first-degree murder and terrorism. President Biden, in front of Carpenter Union members in Las Vegas, announces $8.2 billion to fund new rail projects, including a high-speed system connecting Nevada and California.
It means jobs, union jobs, 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 jobs.
Stocks closed up on Wall Street. The Dow jumped 130 points. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Gotta cut you down. Go tell that long.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. There's been a lot of it been made. A lot of it been made yesterday, last night, while we're talking. I want to start out with the University of Wisconsin system. Maybe a breakthrough. There are some people who might disagree. Voss and the UW administration have been in talks, and we broke that yesterday. And here are some, but not all, of what Voss is demanding to break the impasse. He's willing to release the $32 million that he'd withheld from the UW system. He's willing to have the pay raises go through. Frankly, they already were approved, and they're subject to litigation. He has no basis for withholding them. And he is willing to have the engineering building in Madison go through. And that's something that the legislature does have authority to block, even though they are doing it simply because they don't like the UW-Madison. Some of the things he wants, I took a look at the list, and I just heard breaking over the news as we came on the air that President Rothman of the UW system was saying that they have a deal, and I've not seen all the terms, so I can't comment on that further, but what Voss wanted, some of the things that Voss wanted, was, first of all, that 10% of the high school classes, the top 10% throughout Wisconsin, would have the right to be enrolled in one of the UW campuses, and the top 5% would have the right to be enrolled at the UW-Madison. Now, that's something that's been used elsewhere to integrate as far as possible their state universities. I leave that to the educators to decide if there's an objection to it, but on its face, it seems reasonable to me. Number two, he wants the number of DEI positions cut by a third. That was a third, two-thirds of them could stay, one-third of them would be lopped off. What I heard over the air, just as we came on the air, is that Rothman, President Rothman, has said that none of them will lose their jobs. They will, their positions will be reimagined. Reimagined. In other words, they won't be DEI positions, but they may be student success positions and so forth. I'm going to withhold comment on that until I read it, the details of it. But the thing about DEI that's bothered me in other campuses, and I see no evidence of it in Wisconsin, but it's certainly true in Michigan, it's certainly true at Harvard, it's certainly true in Pennsylvania, certainly true, frankly, in Columbia University, that it really becomes not diversity, equity, and inclusion, but diversity, equity, exclusion of Jewish students. In other words, it can be a hotbed of anti-Semitism, and that is what I would want the president of the UW system to ensure does not happen. So we'll take a look and see at that. Obviously, the engineering building is essential. It is, quite frankly, offensive to me that the raises, about 35,000 people work for the UW system. That's about half of statewide public employees. So the other half got raises. The UW system employees did not. Even LeMahieu, the Republican majority leader in the Senate, said, hey, wait a minute. The people who mow the lawns at the college campuses, maintain the buildings, shovel the snow, secretaries, they have nothing to do with DEI. They really don't. They have nothing to do with DEI. Virtually none of them have anything to do with DEI. That's a matter for the regents, the president of the system, the chancellors, and maybe a handful of other people, but that's it. So why are you holding them hostage? And their raises already passed the legislature. There is litigation right now pending before the, and should end up in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that it's based on a couple of things, but one of them would be separation of powers. If the legislature passes raises, and it was bipartisan, it's a gerrymandered Republican legislature, but had a lot of Democratic votes too. And the governor, in this case a Democrat, signs it, and then the gerrymandered clowns in the Republican caucus go, well, we're going to have a committee hold on to them until they're satisfied about what? The sun rises in the east and sets in the west? I mean, what do they have to be satisfied about? To use that as a bargaining chip of some sort to get another objective is offensive. The flip side of that, however, is litigation takes time. And it bubbles up. I do not think that the Supreme Court took original jurisdiction. I may be wrong on that. We'll have to follow up on that. But if they didn't, it takes months. And even if it gets to the Supreme Court, it'll take a month or two to schedule it. And then there'll be oral argument and then appeals and all this kind of stuff. And these people who mow the lawns, shovel the snow, are secretaries, nurses, who have nothing to do with DEI, ain't getting paid, and it's having an impact on retention and, frankly, attraction of people who work for the UW system. So it's a hostage situation. I don't want to overstate it. There are other hostages that are far more tragic and serious, the Hamas hostages that they kidnapped, raped, and then are squirreling away in tunnels and in Gaza. But the hostage mentality is foreign to America. It's foreign to America. The Democrats don't do hostages. When Nancy Pelosi, for instance, was the speaker and Trump was the U.S. Congress, Trump was the president, and she didn't say, for instance, we're not going to vote to pay our government employees and the troops. We are not going to fund the government until you agree to the Voting Rights Act, immigration reform, and Medicare for all. She didn't say that. She had her caucus vote to fund the government. The flip side is the Republicans do have a hostage culture. They will deliberately injure the United States to accomplish some what objective. They're going to get rid of a third of DEI positions who will be reimagined. What do you think that means? They're in their offices. Somebody who wants to talk to them can talk to them. I think, and I've told the anecdote before, I'm a graduate of UW-Madison, the law school. My first year, there was a kid, I really liked him. I was a little older, I'd been in the Navy, but this guy's right out of college. He was Native American. I think he may have been a Chippewa, but in any event, he was a really good guy, and we talked a lot, and he was saying, I'm the only one, or perhaps the only one of few in a class of first-year law students that's almost 300 people, and nothing that we are targeting, nothing that we are discussing that I can see, really impacts the legal issues that are impacting my tribe and me. And I hung out with a guy, and he got integrated in our class, excellent guy. But not everybody like that, and it's not just racial. It's not just Native Americans, Blacks, people, Latino people. I mean, it's first-generation college from rural areas. Go to Madison, oh, my God. So a certain amount of DEI counseling is very, very effective and necessary for these guys. So reimagining a third of them, who knows? On the engineering building, it's about time. I mean, private money was put up to facilitate that. That was a hostage situation. And the pay raises, the $32 million were hostage situations. I'm going to put in one plug from Milwaukee. There was a capital budget item suggested, and the Regents made it either number two or number three. A health science renovation capital budget request from UWM. It was not even put in the budget that Tony Evers proposed. It was not reimagined, put in by the Republicans. Milwaukee got nothing. I'm tired of that. I'm going to tell you, I'm real tired of that. Milwaukee is looked on by both parties as a source of major donor funds, and by the Democrats for votes, by the Republicans for votes in some suburbs. There is a feeling, and I think it's in both parties, certainly in the Republican Party, but I think it's on Evers' staff, and I want to see Evers get his staff under tighter control than he has them. Because there is a feeling, frankly, that Milwaukee can be taken for granted for money and votes, and the hell with Milwaukee. And I'm tired of it. I'm damn tired of it. That health science renovation capital budget has to go through, certainly in the next budget. We need nurses. Health care is one of the most important issues. It attracts a lot of majors at UWM. UWM is a Tier 1 research institute. It's only 150 colleges in the country are Tier 1 research institutes. There are thousands of colleges in this country. It is one of two in Wisconsin. The only other one is Madison, UW-Madison. So this business of, well, culturally, somebody on the governor's staff doesn't like Milwaukee, doesn't like its ethnic groups and all that. Well, the hell with you. I'm telling you that right now. The hell with you. The Regents put it very high up, and it was cut out, and I don't believe Tony cut it out on his own. I believe his staff has got to be brought under control, absolutely brought under control. And the Republicans, hopefully it won't be a gerrymandered legislature, but they had better pass it next time. So what do you do? So Voss and Rothman, fellow UW president, come to this deal. Okay, maybe the job gets done, but we also have got to get rid of the hostage culture that's in the Republican Party, who will deliberately injure the state and the federal government if they don't get their way. Coming up, guess what? Another Republican senator is blocking military promotions, not just Tuberville. Coming up.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its seven lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt and Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's more than one chicken hawk, treacherous chicken hawk, in the Republican Senate caucus in Washington. You know, Tuberville held up all appointments, all promotions of officer level from last February to a couple of days ago. Finally, he released them except for 11 four-star promotions. Oh, great. All the buttercups on the Democratic side and the other chicken hawks on the Republican side wrung their hands and say, oh, he's abusing his power. What power? It's not in the Constitution. Unanimous consent is not in the Constitution. Filibuster is not in the Constitution. One hack, you don't know. Look, there'll be a senator someday, and maybe it's happening now, who's been bribed by the Russians, by the Chinese, by the Iranians. Menendez was bribed by the Egyptians. If you give them enough money, stick in an account in Switzerland somewhere, that will get a lot of them. Take a good look at their faces the next time you hear them speak. Seldom seen less character in human faces. So you're letting one guy demoralize our military because none of the others will get up on their hind legs and say, the Constitution does not permit one senator from not promoting people or not taking up a bill. It doesn't permit it. We will change that. We're not the House of Lords. We're damn tired of you people. You're not the House of Lords. This clown, that is unbelievable, is Eric Schmidt, the new one. Tuberville is the worst clown. This guy is his assistant clown. Eric Schmidt, Republican of Missouri, a chicken hawk. A chicken hawk. A right-wing nut and election denier. Went along with trying to overturn the last election. The last presidential election, 2020. He now announced he's putting in a unanimous consent hold on five officers. Tuberville's doing 11. He's doing five. Why is he doing five? What are his reasons? Clown says, quote, I am putting in a hold on five officers, quote, for their views on diversity and inclusion, end quote. Oh, great. In other words, five of the officers, these are officers who are making a career of the military to defend our country. Five of them, according to him, believe, what do you think diversity and inclusion means in the military? Any guesses? It means black officers, female officers, and LGBT officers. And if you think, I'll tell you something, if you don't believe that, there's no use having this discussion. Eric Schmidt of Missouri is far to the right, and he does not want five officers who apparently, who knows how, whether they gave a seminar, attended a seminar, had a posting of some sort, think it's a good thing. And by the way, I think it's a good thing to have black officers, to have female officers, and to have LGBTQ officers. Tell you my experience. When I was in the Navy, it was the 70 to 72 time period, the female officers were in the nursing corps, and occasionally there were female officers that were assigned to things like ammunition ships and supply ships, but they weren't assigned to combat ships. My ship was called the USS Opportune, an auxiliary rescue salvage ship. It has the distinction of having had the first female commanding officer of that ship in the early 90s, 30 years ago. There were very few black officers in the early 70s. And there was one fellow I got to know. He was on another ship. I remember the federal government didn't give people off for Martin Luther King Day. That some states did at that point in 70. Well, this would have been it's probably 71 or two. And he was concerned about that. And he made that known. I agreed with him. And ultimately, of course, the federal government did give people off for Martin Luther King Day. Now, you don't get off for Martin Luther King Day if you're in combat or if you're deployed. If you're deployed, you don't get it. But if you're back and there's maintenance and repairs and you're in port, that's what I'm talking about. And this guy, Schmidt, he didn't say if five of his are part of the 11 of Tuberville's or five of his but last week or earlier this week, the minute Tuberville dropped his objections to most of them, I know the Senate unanimously passed over 400 of them. So we're going to need clarification. This is the clown trying to retroactively rescind promotions for five officers. Is he posing for holy pictures in Missouri? Look, you're talking about St. Louis, Kansas City. There got to be people down there that don't like this, that don't like these attacks on the military. And I'm going to reiterate this. All it takes is nine Republicans to override these unanimous consent holds. I want Schumer to put in the promotions of the 11 four-stars and whatever five the clown Schmidt is objecting to. And I want nine Republicans to get up on their hind legs and say they join the Democrats. If they do not, let's take Ron Johnson. He won't. Why? He just got elected, what, a year ago. So he's golden for five more years. He snuck in. None of these issues were brought up in his campaign. They were all soft, crazy issues, identity politics issues. Nothing got brought up that the guy was in Russia on the 4th of July hobnobbing with Russian genocidal sadists. Nothing was brought up about how he had the fake electors in his pocket. We knew it then. We knew it then. And how he's in for now five more years, a little over 5 years. So he's figured he's golden and people will forget. He won't support our military. He didn't serve in our military. Neither did Schmidt and neither did Tuberville to Chicken Hawks. But I'll tell you what, we've come to the point where the Democrats, they can pass by simple majority, believe it or not, the 51 votes, or 50 votes if Sinema stabs them, 50 votes. And then what happens is that Kamala Harris, if there's a tie, can break the vote. And you say, we're getting rid of unanimous consent and filibuster for promotions in the military. We've already done it for Supreme Court justices and appellate court justices. Why aren't we doing it for officers in the military? They won't do it, though. They won't do it because they like the prestige. And the guy that busted the filibuster for Supreme Court was Moscow Mitch. The Republicans do it in a heartbeat. The Republicans do it in a heartbeat. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and a guy in the council on American Islamic Relations, the executive director named Nihad Awad, did something that caused Joe Biden's White House to disavow them.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
CBS News Brief. The Texas Supreme Court has just ordered a pause in that lower court order that allowed a pregnant woman to have an abortion despite the state's very tight abortion ban. Nicole Baker of CBS News, Texas.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton sent a letter warning doctors against that order, asking the Supreme Court to block it immediately.
Which that court just did. In Las Vegas, police released the UNLV 911 calls made as shots were being fired, with three faculty members eventually killed.
Okay.
We have learned that the gunman had more than 150 rounds of ammunition and a list of targets when he opened fire. Ryan O'Neal was a big TV star of the 1960s and a big movie star of the 1970s. Films like What's Up, Doc?
Oh, look what happened. Oh, dear.
Please don't help me.
Ryan O'Neal has died. He was 82. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The amount of underage cigarette and vape sales in Wisconsin has more than doubled since 2019. That's according to the University of Wisconsin Survey Center, which sent underage customers to over 1,000 random retailers across the state. Around 13% of stores sold nicotine products to the underage customers. While federal law raised the minimum age to purchase tobacco in 2019, Wisconsin law has not, leaving some retailers confused about who they can and cannot sell to. While cigarette use has gone down in teens, vaping use has gone up. A new proposal would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana in Wisconsin. The bill would carry no jail time and drop fines to as low as $100. It would also give law enforcement more flexibility on a case-by-case basis. So far, the response among lawmakers has been mixed. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
If I could be you,
And you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Cloudy skies expected overnight, with isolated rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 41. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow, 45. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Hey, this is Jim Santel, the host of Morning Cannoli, our weekly review of significant events in the areas of law, government, and justice. Join us this Saturday, the 9th of December, for our 75th show. We'll begin unpacking Donald Trump's statements on the rule of law and what could happen in his America. Join us then.
Morning Cannoli with James Santel.
Every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, Michigan, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. I hope you're having a wonderful afternoon. We always have to remember and never forget, Tommy Tuberville has not done anything right. He never has and never will. What he did, he caved. So he's done nothing right by stopping what he did. And saying that he is for the military, give me a break. He never served. Now, I can't say anything about that myself. I never served. But when I meet any service person of any, police officers, I'm right here on the Detroit River, Border Patrol, anybody, EMT workers, postal workers, I always thank them for their service. Because if not for them, I don't know how we would have gotten through COVID. Matt, as my second point, I think we ought to think about that word hostage, especially when we're talking about political situations. When we have cyber attacks, we call the term being held for ransom. And I'm hoping we can start to think that when there are tricks and whatever in politics, instead of using the word hostage, held hostage, maybe it's held for ransom. Because always it comes down to money. All right, Matt. Thanks. Have a good
Thanks for the call, Andrew. You can call it anything you want, but a rose by any other name is just as sweet, as the bard said. The fact of the matter is that at the state level in Wisconsin, you can call it ransom, you can call it hostage, the Republican Party is refusing to do things that are eminently in the interest of our university, would hurt our university if they don't do it, have overwhelmingly public support, and in one case, which are the raises, were actually passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. And they're simply refusing to do their duty. And they're doing that to try to get accommodations, policy accommodations, that they have no right to get. And it looks like President Rothman will agree to reassign a third of the DEI workers. And you can argue, well, on that part of it, they should not have held up the raises or the engineering building, either for as a hostage or for ransom, whatever you want. But okay, at least we'll get them released. But there are a couple of other things they're doing, and I didn't give you the whole list, and I do not know what Rothman agreed to, but one of them was they wanted a donor-paid conservative professor to be put on the faculty, I think at Madison, maybe they want him in all the campuses, who will teach conservative thought. Now, look. There was a donor, it was one of the Bass brothers in Texas. They're the ones that, remember, try to corner the silver market. They're multi-billionaires. They offered to give Yale several hundred million dollars if Yale would set up some kind of department with professors of conservative thought, and the Bass brothers would have the right to veto any appointment to that faculty, and Yale turned them down. I mean, Yale has plenty of money, but you know, it was a couple hundred million, they turned it down. They said, we can't have donors or legislators picking our professors. Now, these people in the Republican caucus, they're very bad. When you gerrymander something, you come up with the dregs. I mean, you really do. You come up with the mangy ancient catfish at the bottom of the Chippewa flowage who just lie there and wait for food to drift down to them. I don't know what kind of educations they have, quite frankly. We study conservative thought in universities all the time. I did. If you take a political philosophy course, a literature course, you take a political science course, a sociology course, you are going to read books and consider thought by some very conservative people. For instance, a political philosophy course that I took, you know, we read Hobbes, the philosopher. We read Mein Kampf, believe it or not. This is back in the late 60s. But we were, you know, 20 years old. We read it. And I realized the guy was flat out nuts. But and the only thing, or I shouldn't say the only thing, but one of the things I remember from it is at the beginning, he dedicated it to, I don't know, 15 people who were killed in the beer hall push in the early 1920s. And I took a look at their dates of birth. They were all 19 years old, 18 years old, 20 years old. Maybe one wasn't. That impressed me that you can basically poison people when they're very young if they don't know history. But the point is, Voss, I don't know what you took in college, but anybody who has a liberal arts education studies a lot of conservative writers. It's part of the framework of Western civilization, and you make up your own mind. So this clown thing that, what, they're going to have Gableman or somebody approve a professor? Give me a break. We're going to the lines. Sharky of Racine. Thanks for calling, Sharky. What's in your mind today?
Hey, thanks. I just wanted to make sure that we got the message through that there was that issue with the Walworth County CCAP, and it's there for the perusal for your inspection. And it's very, very interesting. It was, you know, Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sharky. Yeah, thank you, Sharky. It sounds like you may have left that message with Calvin, and because I'm on the air, it's difficult for him to communicate with me, but I appreciate your contacting us, and I will follow up on any message you left. Thank you very, very much. Well, the White House just distanced itself and pushed away and rejected the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Why did they do that? They did it because their executive director, Nihad Awad, on November 24th in a video, exulted over the October 7 savage attack and the sadism of the Hamas to the Israeli women, children, and other civilians. And here's what he said on a video, quote, "The people of Gaza decided to breach the walls of the concentration camp on October 7. And yes, I was happy to see people breaking the siege. And yes, the people of Gaza have the right to self-defense. And yes, Israel does not have the right to self-defense." The White House immediately removed the Council on American-Islamic Relations from its publicly listed pledge, along with a lot of other organizations, to fight anti-Semitism. And let me give you a little of the background on this, because this is important. The Council on American-Islamic Relations is problematic. The FBI is suspicious of it. And more importantly, it has wormed its way in to a lot of institutions in this country in the following sense. And it's not unlike, although Saudi Arabia did it with professional golf with the LIV tournament by just putting a lot of money on it. But here's what's happened with the Council on American-Islamic Relations. You remember the Women's March? The Women's March was spontaneous. A million women went to Washington, marched after Trump was elected. They'd had enough. They weren't going to put up with fascism. However, the leadership of the Women's March, and then subsequently, was essentially co-opted, overtaken, by people who subscribed to the ideology of the Council on American-Islamic Relations. And one of their principal spokesperson was a woman named Linda Sarsour, S-A-R-S-O-U-R, who several years ago gave a speech in Illinois and said, quote, "We hope that our jihad against the American government is pleasing to Allah." She was then squeezed out. The next Women's March, and if you think back, there wasn't a Women's March the way you remembered it even last year. There was a resolution where she was squeezed out. It's a couple of others who'd made anti-Semitic statements and were followers of Louis Farrakhan. But the Council on American-Islamic Relations kept a role in it. So what you had happened several for the next couple of years, there were two women's marches. And people, I think, like Barbara Streisand and people like that supported the other one, and it fell apart. The fact is that women's groups right now, even the National Organization for Women, even the Me Too movement, the Progressive Caucus, I mean, Jamila Priyapal is a woman, she's the head of it, all have been ambivalent or silent about not just the rapes by Hamas, but by the sexual torture, by the genital torture of them. Talk about a balance and an equivalence and all that. So be aware of that. And I would encourage women's groups to reorganize again and keep this influence out. Because as long as that influence is in, people are not going to be zealous about backing you, frankly. And the second thing is the Progressive Caucus. I've got to say, the entire Progressive Caucus has, not all are anti-Semitic, but some of them are. Jamila Priyapal is. She has described Israel as a racist state. Ilhan Omar is, Rashida Tlaib is, Cori Bush is. And the rest are intimidated. And I have a question. Why is there a Progressive Caucus? Why is there another political caucus within the Democratic Caucus? We already have a Black Caucus, a Women's Caucus, LGBTQ Caucus. Every ethnicity, everything that anybody has in his mind is a caucus. And the same happens in the right. You have the MAGA caucus, the Freedom Caucus. They're doing the same thing. And all of these caucuses meet at your expense. They food, travel, whatever, they meet at your expense. This has got to stop. Why should there be, for instance, when a Republican president gives a, like Trump did, gives a State of the Union, you have the Democratic response, but you have the Progressive response. Why are they listed as something different, and yet they have the benefit of running the Democratic label? In Wisconsin, there's a Democratic Socialists of America caucus within the Democratic Party. Why is that? There should be a Democratic caucus and a Republican caucus. In this business of having bifurcated, balkanized sub-caucuses with differing points of view, has balkanized the country and has balkanized our Congress. I don't want a Freedom Caucus. I don't want to see these sociopaths. I do not want a MAGA caucus. I don't want a Hurt Feelings Caucus. Is this caucus? Is that caucus? Is absolutely alive in the Republican Party also. And what you end up having then is a caucus that's in the Democratic Party is beholden, quite frankly, to the Council on American Islamic Relations, is certainly their ideology. I think it's time to rethink this. And remember something, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party can pick their nominees. You can have an open primary, but you can decide who you will tolerate as a nominee. And I do not think, we just had a press conference, Cori Bush, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar, who all accuse Israel of genocide. And everything was anti-Israel. I'm tired of them being able to use the word democratic as nominees. They're not part of the Democratic Party. This is a very, very, very important issue. I see you in the lines. Do not hang up. Absolutely do not hang up. Coming up, believe it or not, Matt Gaetz may be expelled from the Congress. Stay tuned. Coming up, I will get to you. Do not hang up.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Loafy's Bread.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Thank you.
Well, I won't back down.
Welcome back to Matchroom Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Believe it or not, it is not out of the question that Matt Gaetz will be expelled from the Congress. And if you think I'm kidding, let me give you the background. The Ethics Committee right now is investigating Gaetz, just like they're investigating George Santos, and they take a long time to investigate him, a really long time. And they go over everything and they keep it very secret, and then they issue a report. They are investigating Gaetz on a couple of things. First, sexual misconduct. Second, illicit drug use. And third, misuse of campaign funds. I do not know the particulars of what they are investigating. But remember, he was under investigation criminally by a U.S. attorney for trafficking and for related matters for a long, long time. And his supposed wingman pled guilty and ratted on him, said that he would cooperate. Now, for whatever reason, Matt Gaetz was not prosecuted. I don't know the reason. Sometimes, from my experience and that kind of thing, maybe the victim didn't want to testify. Maybe they felt that they couldn't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, but they knew it occurred. Who knows? Who knows? But suddenly then he comes prowling around the Congress. And one of the things I was amazed at in some of this recent reporting is that he is absolutely hated in the Republican caucus. You know, what he did with Kevin McCarthy, everybody supported McCarthy, which is 210 people. Hate him. He was at a Republican caucus, closed door, and he got up to speak, and a number of people shouted, "Shut up, sit down." I myself find him one of the most objectionable people in that caucus. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar are in there, but this guy Gaetz is a smarmy little Weisenheimer, and I do not trust him as far as I can throw him. Now, if the Ethics Committee issues a report, and remember, it's bipartisan, it's equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans. If they issue a report that says, we believe he committed sexual misconduct, if that's all it were, then they'd be indicting the whole Congress. I mean, let me be blunt, but this presumably would be the minors, that he did use illicit drugs and that he misused campaign funds. I have no idea what that's about. Is it travel on the congressional dime to commit some of this misconduct? I do not know. However, if they come out with that kind of report, the word is that he may well be expelled. Every Democrat will vote against him, 12, 13 votes. But here are some quotations from members of the Republican caucus that absolutely blew me away. Here's a couple of them. Quote, "If there's anything in this report that's bad, I can guarantee people will have their fangs out for him." This is another Republican congressman. Quote, "If there's anything in this ethics report that's bad, I can guarantee people will have their fangs out for him. He is hated in our conference. If he comes back as guilty in this ethics thing, I think he's in trouble." As I say, in a recent Republican caucus, Gaetz got up on his hind legs and started to say something, and everybody said, "Shut up and sit down." Remember, it takes two-thirds, and two-thirds, I suppose, depending on how many people in the Congress at the time, you know, and not every seat is filled, two-thirds is roughly 290 votes, something like that, give or take a few. if 100, frankly, if 80 Republicans want to expel him, somebody brings a privilege resolution to expel him, Mike Johnson can't control that. It has to be heard in 2 days, 48 hours. And when it's heard, it's up or down, roll call. If 80 Republicans want him out and 213 Democrats want him out, he's out. More likely, about 150 Republicans are going to want him out. Now, that level of, they use the word hatred. That level of hatred for him was not apparent to me. I realized that no one liked the guy. He's a Weisenheimer. He's a bad guy. A lot of them were hoping that the U.S. attorney would take him out. The U.S. attorney didn't take him out. But they're caught between a rock and a hard place. Right now, Kevin McCarthy is leaving at the end of this month. And several people in that caucus have said he did it. He's a petty guy, and he did it to hurt Johnson. Because he's leaving, Santos was just thrown out, and there's a guy named Johnson. I think Ohio, but I'm not sure. I think it was Bill Johnson, who is leaving to take some position outside of Congress. So they'll be down three. They'll have 220 votes. That's all they'll have, 220 votes. They're two votes north of a majority. If they lose more than two votes, they ain't going to pass anything. And there are 18 congressmen, Republicans, who were elected in districts that Biden won. Now, there's got to be at least three, four, five of them who go, for instance, the Biden impeachment thing, right now, they're going to vote to start a Biden impeachment. The people that are in Biden districts had better watch out. And they go, oh, we're not saying we're going to impeach him. We just want to get the camel's nose under the tent. Well, the camel's had his nose under the tent for a long time, and there's nothing there. All they want, and one of them admitted it, was so that when Biden runs against Trump, they can say, well, both of them have been impeached. Well, no, you have to get a majority vote to impeach. And that is why they are doing it. So by McCarthy leaving, by this guy Johnson about to leave, and by Santos being thrown out on his ear, shouting, the hell with this place. I've been thrown out of better places than this when the bouncer throws him out of a bad bar somewhere. What you got is trouble, real trouble for the Republicans. And if they expel this clown, Gates, they're going to be down to, what, a one-vote margin. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and Mark Esper, former defense secretary under Trump, gives a very, very serious warning.
I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour. Presented by Indeed.com. I'm Tom Foti. A late Friday night ruling from the Texas Supreme Court puts on hold a lower court order issued a day before that would have allowed one specific Texas woman to have an abortion because of a serious medical issue, despite that state's tight ban. The Texas Attorney General immediately warned doctors not to perform the procedure on 31-year-old Kate Cox, a mother of